In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is truly my privilege to have been asked to participate in this truly memorable and lovely Remembrance Day Evensong. I currently serve as the National Security Agency chaplain just outside of Washington, D.C., and I've had the privilege of serving as a chaplain now for the last 25 years of my 37 years of commissioned service. And having performed countless military memorials, veteran services, I have to confess that this is one of the most meaningful for me because of the themes that echo of commitment and hope and peace. Remembrance Day marks the signing of the armistice that ended the fierce fighting of World War I at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. And that war claimed a toll of over 10 million dead, 39 million including civilians, wounded and MIA. And World War I was dominated by trench tactics in a transition time to modern warfare. And to make matters more miserable, while the science of killing had advanced, medicine still hadn't caught up to the 20th century. And on the 7th of November, 1919, King George V dedicated the 11th of November as the day to those lost in the Great War, the war to end all wars. Because of that, red poppies bloomed in some of the worst battlefields of Flanders Fields in World War I, they soon became symbolic of Remembrance Day, which is why we wear them to this day. And so we gather here with those, to honor those who have died in the service to their country, not just as a memorial to their sacrifice, but as a reflection on what is good and what is true. On this side of heaven, we have to acknowledge that as humans, our hearts may be blemished, our cause of justice at times may be mixed. And anyone who's experienced the horrors of war looks to the day of the Lord when we shall beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. But until that time, we must likewise acknowledge that selfless commitment we demonstrate this side of heaven, that which is good, that which is just, that which is selfless, remains steadfastly on the side of the angels. The majestic poem by Sir Cecil Arthur Spring Rice that we sang at the beginning of this service of remembrance, "I vow to thee, my country," captures it beautifully. "I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect the service of my love, the love that asks no question, the love that stands the test, that lays upon the altar the dearest and the best, the love that never falters, the love that pays the price, the love that makes undaunted the final sacrifice." And then the intermediate verse that we didn't hear. "I heard my country calling away across the sea. Across the waste of water she calls and calls to me. Her sword is girded at her side, her helmet on her head, and round her feet are lying the dying and the dead. I hear the noise of battle, the thunder of her guns. I haste to thee, my mother, a son among thy sons." And there's another country I've heard long ago, most dear to them that love her, most great to them that know. "We may not count her armies, we may not see her king. Her fortress is a faithful heart, her pride suffering. And soul by soul and silently her shining bounds increase, and her ways are ways of gentleness, and all her paths are peace." Love of country, love without falter, love that pays any price, resonates with tones of that heavenly country, our true home. And what a noble service members that we gather here to honor, and those that have dedicated their lives in the service to God and country, a selfless service which is the very essence of heaven. Individuals join the military for a variety of reasons, many to serve their country or perhaps to experience the pride of accomplishment. But at 19 years old, when that young person finds himself in combat, it usually isn't only patriotism that prompts that ordinary person to perform extraordinary acts of bravery. Adversity has a way of building bonds stronger than death itself. Shakespeare's Henry V called it this band of brothers. And it's mainly for this band of brothers, their buddies, that service members willingly give their lives. And perhaps that's why one of the most quoted scriptures at military memorials and at these kind of services are Jesus's words from today's gospel from John 15:13. No one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. The motion picture Saving Private Ryan poignantly portrays the spirit of camaraderie amidst the horrible reality of war. And the plot revolving around an army platoon's search for Private James Ryan, whose three brothers were lost in battle in World War II, draws inspiration from real life events. And the movie begins with Private Ryan's recollection years later as he surveys thousands of crosses above Normandy Beach in France. And he flashes back to a platoon and their captain as they carry out a mission to find him somewhere in the chaos amidst the millions of troops in the middle of hostile territory. And as the eight men endure enemy action, including sniper fire, the soldiers wonder, why all the sacrifice just for one man? And following the death of two soldiers from the platoon, they eventually find Private Ryan alone with a couple of other men holding a small bridge against the inevitable onslaught of the German army. And finally, the vanguard of German troops attack this ragtag band of soldiers holding this bridge at all costs. And by the time Allied air support finally arrives, only two soldiers from that platoon remain along with the captain, who himself has been shot. Private Ryan, who also survived the battle, is seen holding the captain in his arms as the captain breathes his last. And as Private Ryan gazes into the fallen captain's eyes, the captain's last raspy words are, "Earn this." The camera focuses on the young man's blue eyes, fading to those some 50 years later, tearful as he kneels with his wife, children, and grandchildren surrounding him before the captain's grave. "Every day I think about what you said to me on that bridge," he says to the grave. "I've tried to live my life the best I could. I hope that was enough. I hope at least in your eyes, I've earned what all of you have done for me." That same entreaty echoes today from the fallen. Earn this. And as you well know, in this city, in this community, freedom is always costly. The question is how will you earn such a price by those we honor here? And this afternoon, as we honor those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and service for God and country, I urge you to reflect on how you might make your freedom worthy of such sacrifice. Amen.